Well, Pastor Mindy and I are so excited to share in this Mother's Day message together, because if there is one thing that we have learned in this season, it's that we need one another more than ever before. So it is our hope that this message will encourage you no matter where you are. Let's pray together.
God, we pray that today you would make us open to whatever you need to say to us. Lord, that we'd be open to your promises. We'd be open to your invitation. We'd be open to the ways that your word can shape our lives. So God, we give you this time. Pastor Nicole and I give you our words, and we pray that you would use them in a way that takes us to a different place than where we are in this very moment. Amen.
Amen.
Well, over the past several weeks, we've been preparing to leave the wilderness together, and we've been looking at what might be on the other side. And we've been doing this by going through the early parts of the book of Joshua together. And as we've done this, Pastor Nicole, we've learned some things together along the way. We've learned that even if we can't quite see it, hope is in sight. We've learned how to overcome spiritual distancing, and we've learned that God can work even in the middle of a crisis.
And yet, when we came to this week, our initial thought was that Mother's Day didn't quite fit within that wilderness narrative. But then we began to think about what it's really been like to mother in the midst of this pandemic. And we discovered that wilderness is not only related, it is exactly where we are.
It's exactly where millions of mothers are. Mm-hmm. I mean, think of the moms that lost their jobs during the pandemic and still haven't been able to find another one.
Or grandmothers who have waited over a year and a half just to feel their grandchildren's arms around them.
Or you stepmothers who are trying to balance working full-time, facilitating e-learning, are just trying to get those high school seniors across the finish line to graduation. I feel like we need a special sermon for the moms trying to get these high school seniors out of here. You've got about 3 weeks. I know you've got the tickets at hand. You can do it.
You are almost there.
Almost there.
And I also come to mind with the new mothers, mm-hmm. who, like so many of us, have been told that it takes a village to raise a child, but try finding one in the midst of a global pandemic, and instead have only found isolation and fear.
Mm-hmm. And as we think about that idea of community, I think about those of you that have lost mothers in this season, and the deep grief that comes from that on its own, but also trying to figure out how to gather and celebrate your mother's life in a time when that just doesn't seem like an easy possibility.
Because mothers, we mothers, have been in the wilderness. And because it's a holiday, Pastor Mindy and I wanted to shout from the rooftops, "The wilderness is over! All of the difficulty and challenge and uncertainty is behind us." But that wouldn't be true. Instead, we want to give you the three promises that God gives Joshua, so that no matter what's next or where's next, you'll be able to navigate your way with God. So first, let's set the scene. In our text, we find Joshua, and you know Joshua, Moses's right-hand man, who watched as Moses led the people through the wilderness, made manna rain down from heaven, or parted bodies of water so God's people could cross through on dry land. But now this all-powerful, wise Moses has died. The journey through the wilderness has come to an end, and Joshua finds himself on the edge of the promised land. Now he's got to lead the people. Now he's got to make the decisions. He's got to move God's people forward. And if that biblical description seems outdated or not relatable, think of it as the curb. You know the curb.
I know the curb.
I know the curb. The curb, the place where the nurse wheels you after you've given birth, after you've been discharged, and now you have to go home. You have to wake up for all of the middle of the night feedings. You have to change every stinky diaper. There's no more Moses. There's no more nurses. You have to do this on your own. That's where Joshua is, out of the wilderness, and absolutely unsure of how in the world he'll move ahead.
You know, I remember the curb. I remember it so well. And I remember being at the hospital with our first child, Hazel, and holding her in my arms as we were about to go home and saying to Zach, they're going to let us leave the hospital with this baby.
What were they thinking?
It was amazing to me. So I remember that moment, which was full of uncertainty and fear and just not knowing what in the world was going to come next. And maybe you've been there too. Maybe you've had that moment where you just don't know what the next season will bring, whether it's on the hospital curb or whether it's just a really significant transition in your life. But whatever that's looked like, I want you to think about that place of uncertainty, because it's in that moment of uncertainty that God meets Joshua and gives him this first promise. Now, this first promise is one that means so much to me that I even have it stamped on this necklace that I'm wearing today. It's the word worthy. Because I think when God's messenger shows up and tells Joshua that he's here, he's on this holy ground, I think what that messenger's saying to him is that he's worthy to stand in God's presence. Mm-hmm. And he's worthy to do that even before he's done all of the things that he's gonna do coming forward. I think what's so powerful about this promise is that when Joshua receives it, there is so much of Joshua's story that hasn't happened yet. I mean, today we are in chapter 5 of, I looked this up, a 24-chapter book that's named after Joshua. So there is a ton of story left to tell. And we even see it in the text that we read today, because in the text we read today, it gives us this key word that lets us know. It says that the messenger comes to Joshua when he's near Jericho. Mm-hmm. Not when he is standing in the newly conquered land, not when he's relaxing after a long day of battle and victory. No, this first promise that Joshua is worthy, it comes to him before all of that. And when God shows up with this promise, it doesn't come with expectation of what's coming next. It doesn't come with any comparison to that great leader that Pastor Nicole told us about that came before Joshua. Mm-hmm. God's faithful to Joshua, and he sees him as worthy to be in that holy space because that's just how God sees him. I think it's pretty amazing that Joshua's worthy to be on that holy ground because God's presence and God's approval of us, it doesn't depend on anything that we've done. Joshua's worth is solidified from the very start simply because God says that it's so and that it's true. And Joshua doesn't need to wait on the victory. I mean, we know some victories are going to come. That's true. That's part of his story. But he doesn't have to wait for that because God is already there with him here and now. And I wonder for you if you've ever needed that reminder in your own life. That reminder that you're worthy just because, and that you don't have to do anything to prove it. You know, when I think about my own life, I think about when I was commissioned as a deacon in the UMC last summer. It was kind of a strange process, and I know saying that something that happened last summer was strange is kind of a massive understatement because we were right in the middle of the pandemic. So yes, there was a lot of Zoom, there was social distancing. It was strange because of that, but that really wasn't the thing that made it strange for me. What made that process strange and unknown for me was that I had been serving in churches, working in ministry since I was in college, over a decade. And yet I hadn't taken that step to become ordained yet. So as I'm sitting here looking at what's next, I'm thinking about this new title of pastor and what this call meant. And there were so many questions for me of if I was worthy and what that would look like. There was a lot of self-doubt, and I needed God to show up and remind me that yes, I was worthy, and yes, I was enough. And as God does, God did. God did give me that reminder, and it came in, I think, maybe the most pastory, you could insert the word nerd, it's fine, but I'm going to say pastory way possible through a gifted set of biblical commentaries.
Definitely nerdy.
Definitely nerdy. It's okay. It's books about a book, but I love them. So I knew that this set of commentaries was coming. I had dropped a lot of not very subtle hints to my husband. I had a feeling. But here's what I didn't know. I didn't know that for weeks, my husband Zach had been reaching out to people in my life, friends, mentors, former pastors, people who I really looked up to. And he'd asked them to write notes of affirmation that he would put in the cover of each of these commentaries. Now you can see from the picture that I think there's 12 commentaries here. So there's a lot of notes of affirmation. And as I read through these notes, I just saw page after page of people telling me all of these things that reminded me that I was worthy of this call. And you know what I didn't find in these notes? I didn't find any conditions or any expectations. Not a single note that I read said, well, this thing that I'm writing about you, it will be true if you accomplish X, Y, and Z by when. There was none of that. The people writing these just thought I was worthy because they knew me and they knew that God was at work in my life. They weren't looking for proof. They were just showing up. And the way that these people wrote those notes, it reminds me of the promise that God gives Joshua. And really, the promise that God gives you and me today. Because God isn't looking for proof. God is just faithful. And you know, when I think about our God, I know that this is one of maybe the hardest things for me to wrap my head around. That we have a God who gives us grace and acceptance and love just because that's who God is. And as hard as it can be to understand this, what it all comes down to for me is this. It comes down to the idea that our worth isn't dependent on anything that we can do. But our worth comes from the one who does more than we can ever imagine. And I want to say that last part one more time to you. Our worth comes from the one who does more than we can ever imagine. And that promise comes without conditions. There are no strings attached. We receive that promise because that's how faithful our God is. And that's how our God sees us.
But let's be honest, Pastor Mindy, we can say that we are enough or that we are worthy, but sometimes it's just so hard to believe it. The truth is that we look around the battlefields of our own lives and we feel anything but worthiness. Instead, we see every defeat, every plan that never came to pass, every dream that this pandemic deferred, and our worthiness seems as far away as the promised land. But that's where the second promise of God steps in. God meets Joshua with a messenger, and God will meet you with one too. You see, Joshua is not just met by any angel, but by the only angel in all of the Bible who brings his resume. It's right here in verse 14. The angel tells Joshua, "I am a commander in the Lord's army." And Pastor Mindy, I couldn't help but wonder why this angel thought it was necessary to share his LinkedIn profile. But then it dawned on me that God doesn't just send messengers. God sends people into our lives who have been where God is calling us to go. Because we've all experienced those people who mean well, but don't know one thing. Not one thing about what we're going through. People who are Google experts, but not battle experts. People who have read the book, but have never lived a single chapter. But that doesn't stop them from offering advice, from sharing their opinion, from criticizing what we're doing or how we're doing it. And God knows we don't need another critic. We don't need another evaluator. We just need somebody who knows. So God sends Joshua a commander in the Lord's army, or someone who knows what it's like to face an enemy, someone who knows what it's like to feel the defeat of a battle but still have to fight for the war, Someone who knows what it's like to try and lead a group of people who don't want to follow. Sounds like motherhood
it
to me.
It sounds familiar.
No, God doesn't send just anyone, but someone who knows. Someone who can tell him, Joshua, I've been where you are going. You are not the only one. I have faced what you are going to have to face, and I'm standing right next to you. And I don't know what battlefield you may be on today, or you may be on today, but here's what I know for sure. God will send you a messenger who's been through it and who will stand right next to you. And I can say that with confidence this morning, not just because of what it says in the fifth chapter of the book of Joshua, but because I have received some of these godly messengers in my own life. In fact, one of those messengers met me in the delivery room when I became a mother. I was trying to deliver my first child after 24 hours, and after trying to push this 10-pound baby into the world, the only thing that was moving was his heart rate. And so the doctor started to get a little concerned and called for the birthing coach. And when she came into the room, the first thing that she announced was that she had never had a child. That should have been my first red flag. But then she went on to say, I'd like you to close your eyes. I want you to imagine a peaceful scene, like water lapping against the shore, or like kittens softly playing with a ball of yarn. I want you to take a deep breath, and in just a few minutes, you won't even feel like you are in labor. Instead, you will be lulled into a peaceful and melodic sleep. And then, Pastor Mindy, then she asked me, can you hear the water? Can you hear the water? St. Luke's, I could not hear the water, but what I could hear was my mouth begin to form some words that were not nearly as peaceful or calm or relaxing. But before I could get them out of my mouth, another nurse came into the room. She grabbed me by my hand. She looked me in the eye and she said, I've had 5 children. And this is going to be some of the worst pain that you will experience in your entire life. But I'm gonna be right here standing next to you, helping you to get through it. You see, God sent me a messenger who hadn't just read the book, but had been through the battle. God sent me a messenger who couldn't just offer up other people's experiences, but had survived that experience herself. God sent me a messenger who stood right there, and God will send you one too. But here's the challenge. It's easy to miss the messenger. I'm gonna say that again. It's easy to miss the messenger. Remember in our text that when the angel approached Joshua, he was ready to fight. He doesn't offer a word of warning or greeting. He just blurts out, whose side are you on? Because he anticipates that anybody coming toward him is either or, friend or foe, and not possibly a messenger that God has sent to meet him. You ever feel like that? You ever feel so overwhelmed that you can't even imagine that you're enough or that you can make it through? That you can't even recognize someone that God has sent to bless you? I imagine many mothers feel like that today. And Pastor Mindy and I sat down with 3 in our congregation who heard from messengers that we often miss. Messengers who changed their mind. Take a look.
The hardest thing about being a mom is everything.
You're going to get a lot of advice. And some of it will be great advice, some of it maybe not so great. And so it's hard not to compare yourself and be like, oh, look at what they're doing, and I'm not doing that.
I was so worried as a new mom. I was worried that I would overspoil them or, you know, keep them on a schedule, those kind of things. And I had a really hard, I had the baby blues really bad. That was a part of motherhood that no one really talks about.
Social media was not my friend during the pandemic because I saw other moms doing all these amazing crafts and all these amazing projects. I'm just trying to get through the E-Day. Like, oh, look at what they're doing, and I'm not doing that. So I think that's really hard not to like second guess yourself as a mom.
You just want to do the right thing, but you don't know if you're doing the right thing. And then everyone has a different opinion about what is right. My biggest worry about being a mom is it's all trial and error.
I hope that they know that they are wonderful no matter what. They're going to make mistakes and it's okay, and that they will always have the love of their family. I always want to make sure that my girls know that I love them and I'm there for them no matter what.
That I'm doing the best I can. So, it might not be perfect. But I'm trying.
How does your mom show you that she loves you?
She be kind to us.
Our mom is so great because she's really hardworking, but she also makes time for us and cares for us.
Because she loves me and my sister.
When we're feeling sad, she'll always help us, make us feel better.
What would you want to tell her?
That I love her.
Thank you for being so great.
That she's the best mom ever.
She's the best mom in the world.
That she's the best mom ever.
Watching my kids in that video made me just feel so happy and so proud, and it just made me feel like maybe I am doing a good job as a mom.
It means a lot. It means a lot to hear them say those things about me and not all the things that every little, you know, bad thing that I think I've done. And
when I look at my boys, I'm proud of them. Like, I'm proud of the little boys that they're becoming. I'm proud of my parenting.
I love you, Mom.
I love you, Mom.
Well, when we watch that video, we have to control our emotional responses so that we can keep preaching.
She's talking about me, just to be clear.
But we also see mothers like Joshua who question if they are worthy or good enough. And God sent each of them a messenger to remind them and us that we are worthy. But here's one final promise that we learn from this text, that we have already arrived. When we pick back up with Joshua, we find that he is still not where he wants to be. He's in that hard middle place with the wilderness behind him and the promised land out in front of him. He, like so many mothers, is repeating the refrain, if I can just get them out of diapers, if I can just get them into kindergarten, if I can just get them into high school, if I can just get them through dating, if I can just get them through college, if I can just get them out of my basement, then and there, God's blessings and power will be evident in my life. But don't miss this. It's not in perfection where God meets Joshua. It's in the hard middle ground where things are still unsettled and uncertain. The battle is not over. That's where God shows up. That's where the angel tells Joshua, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. And every mother, godmother, grandmother, great-grandmother, stepmother, mother figure, mother-to-be, hear me now. You're already on holy ground. There's no perfect place or time out in the future where you've got it all together that God will meet you. No, God is with you right here, right now, and you've already arrived. So maybe the question we need to ask ourselves today is not, when will I get to the promised land? But when will I see the promise in the land I'm already standing on? When will I see that because God is here, this place is holy ground?
I love that question of when will I see the goodness of where I am? And I think one thing Pastor Nicole and I want you to know is that we're not just preaching to you, we're not just sharing these ideas with you, but these are real things that I think we are trying to figure out and that we are struggling with as moms, especially in this particular season. And, you know, I found myself asking those same kinds of questions, but maybe less, like, articulately and maybe just a little more grouchily the other weekend in my own house. It was one of those weekends where every single plan that we had just totally fell apart. I mean, maybe you know that kind of day that I'm talking about. I even remember walking around my house that day and saying out loud, "This day, it's a total letdown." And so fast forward to dinner that night. And we're sitting around the table, and I'm tired, I'm disappointed. Honestly, I'm pretty cranky at this point. But we're having conversation as a family, and I ask my kids the question I ask them most nights when we eat dinner: how was your day? Now, you can imagine my shock when Hazel, my 7-year-old, looked at me and said, with all sincerity, "Mom, today was the best day of my entire life." And I kind of, you know, blinked back at her and thought, why? And it was interesting, because as she started to list all the reasons that it was such a great day, I realized the things that she loved were all the reasons I thought it wasn't good enough. That's what made it so great to her. And I think just like the moms that we saw in the video, just like Joshua talking to the messenger, sometimes all it takes to find the holy ground around us is stopping long enough to see what's right in front of us. To stop and see the people that God has put in our lives. And when encouragement feels maybe like it's so far away, to find the encouragers that might be right around our dinner table. Because you know what? When life is hard, and when we feel like all these truths that we talked about are just so far out of our reach, that's when we get the gift of leaning on each other. And in those times when maybe you're thinking, no, I can see God's promises pretty clearly. I can tell what God is doing in my life. I feel close to God. That's when you get to show up and be like Hazel at the dinner table and say, "This is the best day of my life." That's when we get to show up and be hope to each other and be those living reminders of God's promises to us. As we close today, I think back to what we said at the very beginning, that we would love to sit here today and tell you that the hard season is over. Oh my goodness, I want to tell you that today. I also would really love to tell you that we know what the next season will bring. But you know that we can't do that. We can't know all those things. We can't make you those kinds of promises. But what we can know is that even if we can't see what's coming after the wilderness, and, you know, like I mentioned, that book of Joshua, it's 24 chapters. There's a lot that happens after they go out of the wilderness. I don't think Joshua knew that either. But even if we can't know what comes after the wilderness, here's what we can know. We can know that our God will be faithful to us, no matter what this next season brings. What we can know is that the same God that showed up and gave Joshua these three promises, that's the same God that shows up for us today. And as our God is at work in us and keeps promises to us, the good news is that that's the same God that will go with us out of the wilderness and to whatever's coming next. So, Pastor Nicole, why don't you close us in prayer?
Holy God, we're grateful that you see us and you say that we are enough. You say that we are worthy. And so, God, we pray today that you would help us to see ourselves the way that you see us, to love ourselves the way that you love us, that we might recognize those messengers in our midst who you've sent to encourage us and to strengthen us for the journey. For God, we trust and we give thanks that we are already on holy ground, that we've already arrived, because you will never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name.